Many years ago, I was graduating from college, and my parents threw a graduation party. My cousin and I graduated the same year from Ambassador College, so they had a number of people they brought over to the house, and they had us up at a table and the gifts, and we were opening them. And I came to one particular card, I opened it up, and I kind of stared at it in shock because it was a check. Now, this is back in 1977. It was a check for $1,000. But really, what shocked me was who it was from. It was from my father. You see, my dad had never given me anything like that throughout life, and so this totally blew me away. You see, my father was very tight with money, and I saw that my whole life, so to have this in front of me was really unexpected, and yet it was very appreciated. Let's begin in Exodus 20 and verse 12 as we discuss the topic of honoring our parents. And think about that in light of Father's Day tomorrow. Exodus 20 and verse 12, we'll look here at the fifth commandment to a deeper level because all of God's directives are very important. So when we single one out, it's more to dig into it and understand it better, but all of them should be followed. Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Brother, my emphasis today is on the command to show respect to our fathers. I'll address the mothers a little bit, but because of Father's Day, I'll be more directed towards our dads. And so it says honor. Honor our parents. The word honor means to regard or treat someone with admiration and respect. It also means to give special recognition to. So we don't just give that recognition on Father's Day. It's to be all throughout the year. And God commands, all of his commands should be followed both physically and spiritually. And many of God's physical laws point to a greater fulfillment in a spiritual sense. My title today is Honoring Our Father. So we'll look at two aspects of this. Of course, respecting our physical dads is important, and we should evaluate how we're doing. Or for some of us, many of us, maybe our fathers have passed away. So how we've done? How have we done in the past? Secondly, honoring our Father can tie in with our Heavenly Father, the one who has given us life, the one who has blessed us with multitudes of things that we normally may not have without God's gift, and to consider how wise God is, how all-knowing, how forgiving, how loving, how compassionate, and you think about the qualities of our spiritual Father. And so our God also requests that we continue to develop a deeper level of respect for him. And as we respect our dads, it points us to the fact that we need to respect our spiritual dad even more. And so God is willing to bless us, as we read here in Exodus 20, if we show honor to our physical parents. He says, I'll give you long life. I mean, what a tremendous blessing that is. Let's go next to Matthew 15. And verse 1, as we get into this topic, Matthew 15, we'll look at verse 1 to begin with. And in this section of scripture, Jesus is correcting the Jewish leaders for sidestepping some of his laws. Some of the Jewish people were dishonoring their parents, and they even made rules to get around it. Matthew 15 and verse 1, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. So none of the scribes and Pharisees were accusing Jesus for breaking God's law. No, it was man's traditions, they stated. They were referring to an oral law that the Jews had elevated to the point it was above God's law. And they weren't looking at it accurately. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? So this is really getting down to the nitty-gritty here. He's talking about God's laws, not man's. Because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. So if we were to look at Mark's account of this same story, the gift referred to is called Corban. And so they made up this rule and named it Corban. And Corban was a type of vow in which a person would devote something to God. So you think about it. They had to plan all this out to get around God's law. The Jews actually created their own rule, which could take advantage of their own parents. When the religious leaders said Corban over an item, it was then dedicated to God. It was dedicated to the temple, something tied in with God. And they made the rule additionally that it was irreversible. So even they go, I made a mistake. No, they couldn't undo it. That's how they wrote out this tradition. And so that item could not be used for any other purpose, even though it was available to help someone, especially one's parents. And so this tradition erased God's command to honor one's parents by making an excuse to dedicate an item for their own purpose. Like, oh, I'll just give it over here, maybe where I'll be noticed more. So for example, let's say we had a pile of money here or some goods, whether food or material possessions that we had extra of. We know which we're supposed to take care of our parents. But then if I said Corban over either one of these, then I had to give it for that purpose, even though my parents, let's say, needed it, could use it. I had the opportunity to help them, and they would knowingly claim Corban to get around that. Let's continue in verse 7, which Christ continues with, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So verse 9 is quoted from Isaiah 29, and let me just read that in another translation. The ISV says, then the Lord said, because these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, worship of me has become merely like rules taught by human beings. And so instead of helping their elderly parents, they said, we can get around this. We don't have to factor that in. Because first of all, part of their thinking is, not many people are going to notice if I go take some food to my parents or give them a little extra cash, whatever it was back in that day. And so instead they could take and give this donation to the temple where everybody go, wow, look what he's doing. And you know, maybe they blew their horn or whatever, but it was a lot to do with recognition. And so this rule was about avoiding their obligation to honor their parents and to look righteous in front of others. It might be comparable today to those wealthy individuals in society that go, let's say on TV, and they're on a charity event and they're up there and they're holding the huge check, you know, a fake check that takes two or three people to hold, and it shows they gave 10,000 or whatever amount of money. And everybody goes, wow, look at what they gave. But sometimes that's for show. Other times it's for tax reasons, etc. And so Jesus goes on to explain that what they were complaining about the disciples not washing their hands, he goes, that does not defile a person. It's what comes out of their mouth. It's what's in their heart. And so they got so far off base there. Christ's comments show that the law of honoring our father and mother is still in effect today. And he's saying we better not ignore it. And so for all of us here as Christians, desiring to walk in God's way, we're invited to pick up the pace, let's say, in doing a better job of this if we still have that opportunity. Now, many religions today reject God's laws. They replace many laws with their own rules, whatever fits their preferences. In fact, many of God's commandments are ignored, especially even today. The fourth commandment, they're like, we'll rework that. We'll change the day. We can go work some. And so man is very good at deciding what is right and wrong. Like, God, I want to take that privilege for myself. I might refer to Proverbs 16, verse 9, which says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So when we start to go around God, then our feet get off the path, because we don't have God's direction as our creator, as our life giver, as our lawgiver. And we know that God's rules are for our own good. And yet, if you're like me, it takes a lifetime to learn that. But like, it's not worth going around God's laws. God has directed all his children to honor their parents. So if we were in the world not called yet, we would need to follow this. But all the more, as called out ones, we need to focus on our dads, not just on Father's Day, but every single day of the year. Matthew 19. So we'll turn a couple chapters forward here in verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Now, most likely, all of us have fallen short in honoring our dads, right? We're human. They're human. They've made mistakes. I'll just, before I read this scripture, let me share an example I remember from years ago. It was my mom's birthday, and the family had invited more relatives and friends over to kind of say congratulations or enjoy the day with her. And so my dad gives my mom a gift, and everybody's there, everybody's watching. And once again, this is 50 plus years ago. He gives her a $2 bill. And back then, $2 bills were hard to come by and so forth. And so he gives it to her, and my mom looks at the $2 bill, kind of has a funny look on her face, and then she goes, "Where did you get this?" And he says, "Oh, I got it in the back, you know, where we keep all our papers and valuables." And then she says, in front of everyone there, "This is my $2 bill." So you can see my dad, his head goes down, you know, like, uh-oh, I just was trying to impress and do this. And so you can see that, and we've all been here. You know, as much as we laugh, we've been in situations like that where we've gotten embarrassed, like, because we made a mistake, right? And so my dad's probably thinking, oops, I really set myself up there. So let's read Matthew 19, verse 16. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to Jesus, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" So a very big question here he puts out for us. "And so Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.'" I mean, what a powerful statement that so many today have overlooked. And actually, Jesus, as he studies this man's question, he's really saying, "Are you admitting that I'm the Son of God by calling me good? Or are you trying to play me to work something out here?" And for those who think the law is done away, this scripture and others make it clear and point out the fact that God's laws direct our steps, as we've already read, and we should keep all of them, not just some of them. Continuing in verse 18, the man said to him, "Which ones?" Like, I'm not even really sure. And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So Jesus mentions some of the commands that refer to showing love to those around us. You know, the Ten Commandments, the core principles that God has laid out as a backbone of what his law is all about. And continuing in verse 20 and 21, notice the young man's response. He says, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." We recognize that Jesus could read a person's heart. He knew their thoughts. And so as we think about this, you know, he knew this individual's weaknesses, just like he knows ours. And this individual had a love of money, which made it very, very difficult to try to give away what he had and to the poor and then come follow Christ. To think about selling our possessions and giving it to those who are less fortunate, especially if we've worked hard our whole life and we've gathered this amount and it, like, this is mine. And then this, you know, to try to give that away, it would be nigh to impossible for those who are obsessed with hanging on to their cash, to their money and their possessions. Jesus finishes this up with verse 22, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." So this is a command that he wasn't really willing to follow at that time. And we have certain things in our life that show that maybe we're resistant to certain of God's laws. And we, in these verses, we see that honoring our father is an expectation of God. He's saying, this is a command. You need to follow it. It's all about thinking about whether that command is valid today. And we see from Scripture it is, that we need to think about both of our parents, and today more so our fathers, and how important it is to God. So the fifth commandment is also repeated in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. I won't turn there, but there it mentions a twofold blessing. So we read in Exodus 20 about the long life portion. But it also says that it may be well with you. So God wants us to have a good, not only long life, but for things to flow well and for us to enjoy life. And so this blessing is connected with family. When we think about families working together, loving each other, respecting one another, this is what God is teaching us. So I have to ask the question, how well do we do with honoring our father? You know, or in the past, how well did we honor our father while he was still alive? Consider how different the world would be if everyone followed God's admonition to respect their parents, to have admiration. I mean, there's so little of that at times in our world. We're blessed when we follow this simple rule. God promises long life and a good life. And if we want that, we need to follow this day by day. And if our parents have passed, we need to be careful what we say of them. So both of my parents are no longer living, but I have to be careful today in what I say about my dad and mom to continue this promise. And we can ask ourselves, was my dad perfect? Not by a long shot. I'm sure you could say the same. Do I approve of his weaknesses and his shortcomings? Not at all. Not at all. Sometimes our dads made bad choices. Sometimes they said the wrong thing. Some of them were lazy. Some drank too much. And then we have to look to ourselves. Wait, we're parents. Have we not done things that weren't the best as well? And so we have to turn it around. Imperfect dads shouldn't excuse us from obeying this important command. We still need to honor them. I'll mention that my father did have some admirable traits. One of them was reliability. If he said he would be there, he was there. He would have to be in the hospital or in the grave not to do that. I can still remember at times when he went to work and he would show up an hour early just so he would be there on time. It meant that much to him. To show respect to the person, he said, I'll be here to work these hours. He was always there. I don't know that he was ever late one time in his life. He was also a provider. He always provided for the family. And back then, we didn't have a lot of money, as I know many of you have been raised that way. But we always had food on the table. We always had clothes on our backs. Now, on a negative side, it was hard for my dad to share. You know, everything in the household, he's the head of the household. If it was there, that was his. You know, he was over the household, so that's my possession, which is probably explains the $2 bill and why he thought, well, that's mine. Been there for a couple of years, and he totally forgot. But, you know, no matter how many different traits our dads have, good or bad, God says, honor them. And that's what we need to think about. What God is asking of people is to care for our fathers, to love them, to be there for them, to be a close family that God says, you live by my principles, you practice these ways, because that's preparing you for my kingdom. Respecting our parents is a basis for a strong family unit. And this is what God is building for the future, that strong family unit that he and Jesus Christ now have that we're going to be brought into. The word honor in the Greek is the Greek word kabad, K-A-B-A-D, and it means to boast about. You know, have we ever boasted about our parents? It means to treat greatly or to promote someone. And so this is what God is saying when we honor them. It would include supporting them emotionally and financially, physically. It means taking care of them and showing them proper respect. So God's commands are teaching us how to love even when the other person makes wrong choices. Isn't that what we'd want of our children? Because we've made poor choices as well. So this principle is similar to forgiveness, right? No matter what another person does, we forgive them in order for us to be forgiven. And so we should honor our parents just as we would like to be honored. If we want long life, we must be willing to honor a parent who may not act decently at times, who may not be honorable at times, but God says, that's not your excuse for not honoring them. He goes, I will judge for that, but you still show honor. So no matter what a person has done, he's asking us that we each do our part, day by day. And these rules begin to make more sense as we raise our children. Any perfect parents here? No. See, that's the thing. We can pick on our parents' points, but would we want our children picking on our points? And yet we still expect our children to be respectful of our decisions that affect them. So we have to consider that. Let's turn next to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. So consider that children are blessed to be raised by godly parents. And so if our physical dad lives by God's laws, they have that additional blessing in their life. Proverbs 1 verse 7, which says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now the word listed here as fear can be defined as moral reverence. It's showing someone having a deep respect for God's position. And eventually, you know, God placed the man as the head of the household to have respect for that authority that God has ordained. Continuing in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So those raised in the church and willing to be under that authority have an advantage, and many of us here have been raised that way. Let me refer to Adam Clark's commentary on this. He says, the respect and obedience of children will be as ornamental to them as crowns and golden chains and pearls are to others. Solomon is reminding us that the surest way of being respected in civil matters is to act according to the principles of true wisdom, and that proceeds from the fear of God. So as we have this respect for God, we begin to understand his laws in a whole different way than most people do. Now, I was blessed to be raised by parents in the faith, many of you as well. And from my earliest memories, my dad led our family and all of our household, my siblings, my mom, in godly principles. And the idea of that is as we do that, we hope our children are raised and then they teach their children. And then it goes down the line, each generation. And each of that points back to God, because he is the origin of the wisdom that we write about here or read about in verse 7 of Proverbs 1. You know, God's the beginning of knowledge. He's the beginning of understanding. He's the beginning of wisdom. And so God wants us to learn that and apply it in the family. And it takes proper respect to attain godly wisdom. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, and we'll read verse 37. As we know, in all our decisions, we need balance. And we have to think about that in everything we do, because it's so easy to step off to one side or the other. Matthew 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So our goal is to honor our parents, but to always stand up for God's way. So if our parents tell us to do something wrong against God, that's the only time we should say, reject doing that, because we're to put God first. He said, seek, my kingdom, seek my righteousness, put that above all else. And so for many of us, now that we're parents or grandparents, we need to be respectable, not demanding it. See, some parents do that, like, you will respect me. That's not the proper way to do it. Now, society does change, and it is important that we adapt. And as we get older, it's a little hard, isn't it? Aren't we all kind of in a rut or stuck in our ways? Now, I'm not talking about adapting and changing our beliefs. We stick to the core doctrines of the church. But I'm saying, if we want to make it easier for our children to respect us, then we have to kind of catch up in society for what they're seeing in school and their friends. And so we want to keep up on technology. We want to look at the information that's growing daily and kind of have a general idea and be flexible in all these things so that we can communicate with our descendants, so that we have a close relationship with them and they don't think, oh, you're living in the past. And I say all this with the idea that it helps them to think that we're more respectable because we're trying to look at things from a broader perspective. And if we do this, it's easier then to build that relationship with the younger people. Now, if you think back about ancient Israel, times were pretty hard back there. If a child cursed their parents, it was punishable by death. Consider how many people would die today, just in this nation, if this law was still in effect. I'll just refer to Leviticus 20 and verse 9, which says, "For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him." So we can view this as verbal abuse or emotional abuse, and so many young children, or maybe even older children, don't show that respect that God is admonishing us to follow. I'll refer also to Exodus 21 and verse 15, which says, "For everyone who curses his father or mother shall be," no, that's the wrong one, "and he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." So first of all, you can't curse them, but now you can't hit them. You can't slap them. Whatever, we know that kids out there do that. They go much further with that, and some even take the life of their parents. And so you would look at this as physical abuse, and children have come to the point where they're so disrespectful, I think some don't even think about punching their dad or hitting their mom. And if this was in effect today, a lot of people would have their life ended, you know, in a short matter of time. So what were the times like when these laws were given back in ancient Israel? Well, life was hard. Life was short because of slavery and all the things that were going on. And today we have Social Security, we have government programs to help out. But most likely, none of those things existed back then. It was the children who would take care of the parent. You know, today we have some of these added helps from the government, but we still have to fill in. And so children were responsible for their parents in old age, just as I gave in the recent Bible study about Ruth and how she looked out for her mother-in-law. That's just showing the respect that she had to care for them physically, emotionally, and mentally. So parents today have it much easier, but we still have a duty to care for those who raised us, those who fed us, those who, you know, brought us back from poor health and stayed up with us through the night, those who have trained us and protected us, and so much more. It shows respect to provide for their physical needs and their emotional needs and their financial needs. Let me read what the Believer's Study Bible says about honoring parents. They say, "Again, the national character of this legal covenant can be seen. Since God's moral character is unchanging, these moral principles have universal application. The commandment clearly indicates God values relationships and holds them sacred. Furthermore, this mandate emphasizes that God is the creator of the home." And how true that is. You know, not everybody allows God to rule their home, but when we do, we're the better for it. One final sentence here. "He considers one's attitude and actions towards parents as a measure of godliness." So God views us on how we treat our parents. We can seem godly or ungodly based on whether we follow his commands or not. So our actions towards our parents can be an indicator of our relationship with God. And we need to think about that. If we're on the wrong side of that equation, we need to improve and grow. Let's go next to Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Luke 2 and verse 41. And as we study the life of Christ, we recognize that he lived a perfect life. So everything he did, we can't say, oh, I'm not sure he had the right attitude there. I'm not sure he did the right thing or said the right thing, because we know he never transgressed a single law. So in this story, Jesus is a young boy who was continuing to grow in God's grace and knowledge. So let's pick it up in verse 41 of Luke 2. Which says, "His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. So for those who have spent time with families, relatives, large reunions, you know, there's been times when our kids were off playing, and maybe for hours or half a day or even a whole day, and finally at the end of the day you go, where's the kids? I'm sure they're off with the cousins here or some friends there. And so it's easy to lose track of someone. It reminds me, years ago, my uncle went to the Feast of Tabernacles, and on the way there, they stopped off, I don't know if it was for dinner or a bathroom stop, whatever, but they had 5 kids. So they're driving to the feast. Back then, it was all the way from Pasadena, California to Big Sandy, Texas, the only feast site in the nation at that time. So they had 5 kids all packed into the station wagon. They get out, they go, dinner or whatever. They get back in, they travel down the road for an hour, and finally one of the kids says, where's so-and-so? And so the car's pretty small. They go, well, no, he's not in the back area, and he's not here, and he's not, like, uh-oh, what happened? And so somebody overlooked, you know, keeping an eye on somebody, so they had to turn around and go back. And I think that's what Joseph and Mary felt like somewhat. Let's pick it up in verse 44. So they, supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Continuing here, so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So parents today would be deeply worried if their child disappeared for several days. You know, most of us, if they're gone for a few hours when we told them to meet us at the mall or do whatever. But here, 3 days later, hopefully times were a little better back then. But at the age of 12, even the teachers of the people were amazed at what Jesus comprehended. So he was growing in God's grace and knowledge continually. Verse 48. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And I'm sure they did, just as you and I have had times when our kids disappeared, even in the grocery store, and they go, where did they go? And we were like, did somebody snatch them or whatever? And we can have that anxious feeling. And so as parents, we can understand Joseph and Mary's concern. Like, what happened to my son? Verse 49. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Now, what 12-year-old out there would ever say this? Right? I mean, it's a shocking statement. And we know that Jesus isn't being rebellious. He's never sinned. If anyone was at fault, it was the parents. And so they probably needed to keep a closer eye on him. But we can't blame Jesus for sinning here. Continuing in verse 50, but they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So this wasn't the normal situation, but here it says Jesus was subject to them. The word subject means to obey, to be under obedience, and to submit. So this is the outlook that the Son of God had towards his physical parents. And he's basically saying, Mom and Dad, you don't need to worry. I've been safely in the temple. I'm talking with the people of God. I'm doing the will of my spiritual father. And most of us as parents would be like shocked. And I'm sure Mary was as well. And so Jesus was growing in understanding of what the plan of God was all about. But he honored his parents deeply. We know he set a perfect example in that. And so this is totally different from when we give our kids a curfew and say, you need to be home by a certain time, or you need to not hang out with these individuals because they're troublemakers, and if you go down that path, they will pull you aside. And so this incident is totally different from that. Jesus was doing the will of his father, and his parents were caught up in this and were very anxious. Let's go next to Ephesians 6. And verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. So we see that Jesus not only believed in the fifth commandment, in fact, he was the one who became Jesus in the Old Testament and gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, of which this fifth commandment was a part of. Notice here Ephesians 6 and verse 1, which says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." So a tremendous utterance from God that if we apply it in our life, we can have a much more positive time on earth. And Paul reminds the brethren here at Ephesus of the importance of obeying their mom and their dad. And once again, he quotes Deuteronomy 5. Continuing in verse 4, "And you, fathers," so we need to listen to this, dads, "you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." So God inspired an additional command here for the parents, but especially the dads: make it easy for your children to respect you, to honor you, right? I mean, I've commanded them to do that. He's commanded us to do that to our parents, but we shouldn't try to make that any harder for our kids. The best way is by following Jesus Christ's example, to promote peace, to be forgiving, to show love, to be kind, to protect and provide. And so live a life that sets a great example for our offspring so they can be eager to respect us. Instead of like, well, I have to do it, but it's not easy because my dad is this way or that way. And we don't want to be that way. So live a life that they can look up to. And we as parents have a huge responsibility not to stir up anger in our children. Once again, following God's laws, we can still be flexible. We can still be open-minded as we talk with our children and try to build that close relationship that God is building with us as well. Let's go next to John chapter 19. And verse 25. John 19, verse 25. So consider for a moment the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's hard to imagine all that he went through, but if we look at his words that are written in various gospels here, it's one of the most painful times of his life, what he went through. And no human can really fully imagine it. No one else has gone through anything worse. And for those of us who have broken a bone or had a huge gash in our flesh, we understand when that happens, like our whole focus is on that. It's hard to think. It's hard to reason. We might even go into a little shock to deal with it. But we have to consider that Jesus here still had the presence of mind, being in worse pain than we've ever been in, to still think about his mother, and therefore if his father as well, if he had been there. So John 19, let's read a few verses, starting in verse 25. And so he's on the stake, and it says, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Now, we know he didn't point to anybody. I mean, he's nailed to the stake. And so he's talking to the disciple. And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciples took her to his own home. So as we think about this, Jesus willingly suffered more than any other human. And yet he still had the presence of mind to say, "Please, my friend, look after my mother," which it shows us the individual did that from that time forward. Our thoughts might be to cry out at that time, if we were in the place of Jesus, like, instead of taking care of our mother, it's like, "I'm not guilty. Everybody hear me. I haven't done anything wrong," or any number of things like that. Instead, he's looking out for others. And in spite of the terrible circumstances, he transfers his responsibility of caring for a parent to his disciple John. And we have to look at that example and think, that was really important to him, and therefore should be to us. And all of God's physical laws actually just point back to God, how great he is and the intention he had for these rules. And when we dishonor our Creator, we basically are disrespecting our parents as well. So now let's take the remaining time and look at the spiritual application of honoring our Heavenly Father. John chapter 1 and verse 12. So turn back a few pages, John 1. in verse 12. So if we were to look at the model prayer, we know that Jesus referred to God as his heavenly Father, and that's because he was begotten by him. But also, in a physical sense, all humans are the children of God. So if we look at some of the genealogies in the Bible that list individuals, say from Christ back to the first man or woman, when it gets down to, you know, the father of Abraham to Abraham, and then it says the son of God. So physically, we're all considered children of God in that sense. And so to have life is reason enough for us to respect God, because he's the one who made it so we can be here. So we can have a mind and we can look forward to the future. John 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So he's really saying they're born of God, of which he's working a plan out so that everyone can have this opportunity. And the word born here in the Greek is genao, which means to beget, to bring forth, to receive. And so we have the opportunity to become born of God. And so that really can stagger our mind, that we're here in this physical life and one day we can be spirit, but God is inviting us as children to prepare for that. And a part of that is honoring our dad, our spiritual father. We must not overlook the spiritual connection that God has put in the scriptures. Because a spiritual bond is made when God opens our mind and we choose to believe him. It changes our life, doesn't it? I mean, we're all sitting here. We could be out doing what the rest of the world is doing, but we're here on this day because we see this connection that God is building and we do want to respect it. Turn with me back to Malachi. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. So God shares with the prophet Malachi that he should be honored as well. And he wouldn't even bring this up unless it's been a problem throughout history, and we read it today. We know it took place in ancient times as well. Let's read a few verses here, Malachi 1, verses 6 through 8, where God says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence?" says the Lord of hosts. Now notice who he's speaking to. "To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, 'In what way have we despised your name?' It says, 'You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, 'In what way have we defiled you?' By saying, 'The table of the Lord is contemptible.' And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably?" says the Lord of hosts. So to show respect to any physical leader, we wouldn't take the worst gift we have and say, "Here." You know, if we were farmers, we wouldn't take the worst sheep, the worst cattle, and say, "Here, I'm going to give that." You know, and he's saying, "You're taking the blind, you're taking the lame animals, and you're not showing me respect at all." And so what God is saying here, don't I deserve the same respect that you would do, say, to a governor, a physical leader? It's important for us to think about, because we want to give the best to God that we can. That's why when we come to Sabbath services, we put on the best attire we have, not for each other, but we're in the presence of God. He has invited us here, and we wear the best we have. We do that, you know, we show up and show honor by coming to services on time. And we could go on and on with all the things, but it's about honoring our Father. Let's turn to Jeremiah 35, looking at a few quick examples here. Jeremiah 35 and verse 13. So when we think back about what John stated, he says to be born of God required belief. What he meant there is you've got to have the works, you've got to have the faith, you put them together, that's living faith. And if physical children can follow through on respecting and obeying their father, shouldn't we do the same for our heavenly Father? So let's notice what the prophet Jeremiah says here, Jeremiah 35 and verse 13. He says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my words, says the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons," now notice what he tells them, "not to drink wine, are performed. For to this day they drink none, and obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me." Continuing in verse 16, or I should say 15, "I also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me. Surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not obeyed me. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the doom that I have pronounced against them." Notice why. "Because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard. And I have called to them, but they have not answered." So just as we would show respect, you know, as children to our physical dad, which is giving us an example, this man's sons obeyed. He says, should I not, as the eternal God, be respected by you as well, that you would do what I request, but you're not listening to me? So we have to ask ourselves, do we honor our Heavenly Father each day? I mean, each of us need to ask that question of ourselves and consider in what ways do we show disrespect? And in order to show that respect and that admiration, that requires we listen to God. That means we read His Bible, we study it, we take it in, because those are His words. And we talk to God. That means we're on our knees, we're praying to God, communicating with our Father, not only asking for things, but praising His name and worshiping Him in a balance. So it's not all about, give me this, God, but more so a balanced conversation, which we give the honor to God that He deserves. Now, most of us were taught not to shame the family name, right? I mean, that name was valuable. And once it gets tainted, that's hard to undo it. So our lifestyle also needs to respect our spiritual family. How we act, what we say, reflects on the God family, because we're called children of God. And if we claim to be a Christian, we need to consider that. God has actually invited us to be ambassadors for Christ. What He's saying is, I want you to represent the way I teach and the things I'm all about. I want you to be shining examples of the coming kingdom of God, showing that that way works. And we show disrespect when we let our minds dwell on thoughts that are wrong. When we speak whatever comes to our mind, it's wrong to tear down others. Why? Well, first of all, God says, but those are God's children. He goes, why would you tear down your brothers and sisters in Christ? When we don't care for our home and our property, you can say, well, how does that affect God? But God says, I own all. This is my earth. This is my footstool. And I've asked you to take care of the earth, the animals, you know, to take care of your property. And so each of us have areas where we dishonor God. And my focus today is, will we think about this? Will we think about how we can show more honor to the one that is truly honorable and majestic? We just disrespect God by not showing up for His commanded assemblies, when we don't give tithe of the income that He gives to us, and we could go down the line as we rehearse all the laws of God, that there's areas we can improve in. So we do need to think about that more. 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy 5 and verse 1. So as we look at the Old Covenant as well as the New, we see that honoring our parents is a part of both of those covenants. And when we commit our lives to God, we recognize that each of His laws are a part of our agreement, or that covenant we made with Him. 1 Timothy 5 verse 1 says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. So here's the father connection. younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. So we're to treat older gentlemen, in this case, as we would our own dad. So God says, think about that. I'm teaching respect through all these different avenues. And we might disagree with somebody, but he's saying, if you do, do it respectfully. Because this is how I want you to work together. To think about that, to consider that. Everyone we meet should be treated with respect, especially our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. So just to give you a definition of the word piety, it means that we can be devoted to something, we can be religious, but it also had the definition faithful to natural obligations. This is a part of the definition. It says, as to parents. So the piety ties right in with what God is saying in honoring our father and our mother. So this is what God expects of mankind, to build better relationships with everyone that we come in contact with, whether it's older men, older women, etc. We need to think about that. But it starts with our family, and if we develop it there, then it can spread into everyone we meet. To provide the moral, the physical, and the emotional support, first to our parents, and then by extension to everyone. And this is what God is kind of promoting to us to spread to the world, his way of life, showing that it does work. Well, let's go next to Luke 11 and verse 1. Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 verse 1. You know, at times we have, at least members come to me and say, I really have a hard time praying. And I expect that of young children, but we all have our areas that we fall short in. And so some say, I don't really know what to pray or how long to pray. It's hard for me. And so we think about that. Christ literally discusses this topic. And among the brethren, we can all improve in this as well. Luke 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So one of the members back then had this difficulty. And notice what Christ says to them. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So as we look at this, notice the level of respect that Jesus uses when he prays to his Father. You know, he says, hallowed be your name. He addresses them, you know, our Father in heaven. So this is how we should approach our spiritual Father. We need to think about our attitude, and whether we can improve in how we address God, how we come before God. Because we have to respect the greatest being in the universe who has given us life, who wants us to have eternal life and is willing to help us every step of the way. He's a loving God that desires to give us salvation. And I think at times it's hard to drink all that in, to say, God, you created me for the purpose of joining your family and enjoying everything that you've always then, you know, your character and your ways, we can be brought into that. Let's look at one final scripture here in conclusion, 1 John 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3 and verse 1. So, brethren, as we think about this topic, that as begotten children of God, we're being nurtured by God, we're being protected, we're being prepared, so that we can be born into God's family, actual sons and daughters who will respect everyone. Once again, our physical parents now, but eventually our spiritual father and all of the family of God. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. So read this later, you know, you can break it down a little more, but think about what God is offering us. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So honoring our Father is monumental in getting ready for the kingdom of God. Yes, our physical Father, but especially our Heavenly Father. It takes hard work to submit to those over us. Thankfully, God is very patient with us. Right? I mean, aren't we all looking to improve in this, to grow in this, and yet God says, come on, my children, I'm giving you time. Don't waste away your life and not grow in this area. And we do need to make progress, though, even after our physical fathers pass away, that we can still honor them in our thoughts if we ever speak of them. I mean, I wanted to be careful what I said today about my father, and I tried to share it from a point of view that not putting him down, but to show that we can learn lessons from past mistakes and good traits that my dad had both. Now, let's look at verse 3 to finish up here. And everyone who has this hope, so looking at the hope of becoming the children of God, if we have that hope in him, in Christ, we purify ourselves just as he is pure. So, brethren, will we do better at honoring our Father, our physical fathers, our spiritual father? Because all humans throughout history will eventually be required to show proper respect to their physical dads. Think about in a resurrection when everyone who has ever lived will be raised up and given a chance, if they haven't had one yet, to learn and to grow. And they will be taught this command just as we are practicing it now. The fifth commandment prepares us and helps us to understand the honor and the admiration that we should have for our Heavenly Father. And so we need to think about that as we go through each day. And brethren, we are extremely blessed to be called the sons and daughters of God. So with all this that God is promoting and teaching us and being patient with, we need to put our whole hearts into thinking about what God has done for us and show that honor by what we speak, by what we think, by what we do. You know, living as Christians, everything we do in that sense is a way to honor our father and our elder brother. So let's continue to grow in that as we think about that. And tomorrow, Father's Day, we can definitely show respect there, but and as well as our mothers throughout the year. But we just need to think about this and consider this command to a deeper level, because God is worthy of that honor that he has asked of us. Have a good rest of the Sabbath.